From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. As the days get shorter and the nights become longer, readers of all stripes may find more time to curl up with a book. Meanwhile, holiday shoppers are also assessing the field of 2015 books for titles that will delight family and friends on their gift lists. But with the typically huge scope and variety of books on offer, it can be easier said than done to wade through the possibilities. And so today in The Exchange, we dig into the best books of all types from the year with two local bookstore owners. It's our annual holiday book show, and our guests are here to help you navigate the 2015 fiction, nonfiction, kids' books, cookbooks, and everything else in between. Also, all the titles mentioned today will be on our website, nhpr.org/exchange, along with our guests' own favorites. So let's get you into our conversation now. What do you think deserves a mention as a best book for the year? Or what kind of book are you looking for? Join us at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. And our guests are Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in downtown Concord. And Michael, welcome back. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Laura.
Also with us, Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter. And Dan, welcome back. Good to see you, too.
It's great to be here, Laura. Thank you.
Well, guys, any kind of book in particular that's seeming popular with your customers in 2015, especially this time of year? You know, Dan, is it the year of the memoir? Is it the year of the heavy policy, what are we going to do about ISIS book? Is it the year of escapist adult coloring books? What is it?
Well, I love this time of year because this is the time of year when all books are selling. And, you know, we get up every morning, we go into our shops, and the people come in and we sling the books. And there's really no one theme, but there's a great novel out and there's some great nonfiction. And, you know, we could just jump in and start calling out titles.
Well, absolutely. And so, Michael, how about you? What's jumping out at you?
It's really across the board. There's really a wealth of great books out this year. And so we're very excited to sell. There's a lot of great fiction. There's poetry. There's a lot of great serious history. So it's fun.
Well, and it's a time of year, it seems, that pretty books or sort of gorgeous, lush books with beautiful photos and maybe cookbooks that have, you know, the big spread and everything. Is there any kind of book, Dan, that's sort of eye candy, not just a great read, but eye candy books?
Well, I mean, the cookbooks are this year are there's so much eye candy. And Michael has some of those on his list. I did not get to that part of the store.
Yeah. But, comic books, too. Speaking of visual, right?
Well,
that's big.
I mean, graphic novels are just growing in leaps and bounds, both for children and for adults. I have a book that I brought called Roller Girl, which is a great graphic novel for young women especially, but also young men. Tells the story of a young woman who's just getting started in roller derby.
Which is a popular sport,
yeah.
And growing more popular, at least in this area. Yeah, Michael, how about you? Eye candy books.
Well, the cookbooks are very good. There's a new book called Bien Cuit, The Art of Bread by Zachary Gulper that's tremendous. He's got a new technique for baking bread. The book itself is a beautiful package. It actually doesn't have a cloth covering on the spine, so it's physically a very interesting, beautiful object, and it's full of great recipes about bread.
So in the era of gluten-free, a bread book is still selling.
Well, you know, it can't all be gluten-free.
Yeah. Again, if you want to join us, it's 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. What's your pick for the best book of 2015? Or what kind of books are you yourself looking for as you're out and about doing some holiday shopping? 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Well, you guys, indulge me. As you know, I'm a fiction lover. My work is so heavily nonfiction that on my own, I'm going to read fiction. So, Dan, what do you have for me?
Well, the book that I want to push the most this morning that is a novel is a book called Fates and Furies. It's a novel by Lauren Groff. It's received much love from two of our booksellers, Stephanie and Jill. And this is what Stephanie had to say about it. Fates and Furies opens with Lotto and Matilde, the two characters and main characters in the book, young and newly married and drunk on love and attraction, before spooling back the story of their meeting, their falling in love and getting married, first from Lotto's perspective, then from Mathilde. So you have one of those great novels where you have multiple perspectives and they're coming together. This book was also President Obama's favorite novel that he read this year.
Really?
And can I just say how wonderful it's been to have a president who reads great fiction for the past 7 years, and we still get one more a year. He's just this amazing he's not just a great president in my mind, but I also think that he's done so much for the book industry in this country, talking about his favorite books, visiting bookstores. And this was his favorite this year. So
fiction. Favorites for you, Michael.
Yeah, you know, the thing about having a president who loves fiction is you're of two minds about that, because one, you want him to, like, you know, stop reading fiction and do your job. But on the other hand, what does fiction teach us? It teaches us empathy. It teaches us how to discover patterns in things. You know, so there's a lot to be said for fiction. There's no breakout novel this year in the way that like The Goldfinch or All the Light We Cannot See defined the last two Christmases. Actually, All the Light We Cannot See is still one of our top sellers in fiction. But this year, there's a few great choices. The Neapolitan novels by Elena Ferrante, who's probably the greatest Italian novelist working now. And it's actually that's actually not her name. Nobody knows who she really is.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But, you know, if you want to take a trip to Naples for Christmas, start with My Brilliant Friend. Which is the story of two friends, Elena and Lila, who you grow up together in the 1950s in a very poor region right outside of Naples. And Lila's the brilliant friend whose family doesn't have any money, but who's just academically quite brilliant. And Elena's first jealous of her, and then they become fast, fast friends. And it's the story of how they grow up together. And it's one of our most popular novels. It's in paperback. And it's actually a four-volume set now. It starts with
four
My Brilliant
volumes.
Friend. Yes.
Okay. So this is the last one,
This
Michael?
Is the first one. My Brilliant Friend is the first one. The last one just came out. It's called The Story of the Lost Child. And these are selling very well, and it's a great gift.
Well, and kids' books get so many trilogies or series. It's nice to have one for adults. So you just walk in, you know what to buy.
I know. Exactly. It makes it so much easier because – you know, you love the first one, but here's the second one. It's great.
Dan.
Well, I just wanted to add, the New York Times Book Review agrees with Michael on this. They named the fourth and final volume in the series one of their 10 best of the year.
Top 10, yeah. That's right.
What about, there's another one on your list that caught my attention, Dan Chartrand. Did You Ever Have a Family by Bill Clegg? That's kind of an odd title for a fiction book.
This is a great novel. It's also being recommended by Stephanie in our store. She's a great reader, and she's also a great writer on what she reads. And she writes that this is an incredibly sparely told, beautifully told story, best read in just a sitting or two. Bill Clegg is actually someone who's worked in the publishing industry, and he was a literary agent. He is a literary agent, actually, in New York City. He still practices. And so this is a sort of a not an inside job, but it's someone who's very familiar to editors in New York. And he had this kind of he had written a memoir previously called Portrait of an Addict as a Young Man. And this book was kind of it was very hotly pursued by a lot of publishing houses. And Stephanie really likes it. Did You Ever Have a Family by Bill Clegg?
And you talked earlier, Michael, about the Italian writer Elena Ferrante. There's another writer who writes about France. The book is Submission. It's about basically a bored middle-aged lecturer at the Sorbonne. Submission is the title.
Yeah, it's
actually, sounds like fun.
It is fun. I mean, it's not a book for everybody. If if you have a college student on your list who's coming home talking about Nietzsche for the first time or something like that, it's the time for gifts. So you have to have an intended recipient in mind. But Submission, it's a great sort of fantasy in a way about what happens in the year 2022 in France.
Oh, so it's set, almost a decade in advance.
It's set a few years in the future, and it's about what happens when there's a political party called the Islamic Brotherhood, and they form an alliance and actually come to power in France. And then what happens after that? I mean, it's not a Red Dawn type of fantasy in any way. It's very intellectual. And it's hard to know where Michel Houellebecq is the author. It's hard to know where he stands on politics. He's actually not critiquing Islam. He is. But he critiques everybody. It's satire in a way, but it doesn't go for laughs. He's really more critiquing the bloated institutions of Western civilization as much as anything. And it's a great story. One thing I should warn people is that Houellebecq writes very explicitly and enthusiastically about sexual matters. So you have to be careful who you're going to give this book to.
And is he a French writer?
He is French, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it's translated from the original.
It's a lot of fun.
Our phone number again is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. By the way, if you're hearing some of the books that we're mentioning and you can't jot them down, no problem. We will put them on our website a little bit later. That's exchange at nhpr.org/exchange. nhpr.org/exchange. That's where we'll put all the titles that we're talking about today. You can join us with your favorites at 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Well, I'm guessing you guys love fiction as much as I do because you've got a lot more on here. Dan, in your list, you've got another trilogy, again, to make it easier for people who aren't sure what to get for themselves. Golden Age, Volume 3 of the Last 100 Years trilogy by Jane Smiley. Now, that's a familiar author name.
Jane Smiley is probably best known for her novel, A Thousand Acres, which was kind of a Iowa farm retelling of the King Lear story, roughly. This new book, Golden Age, is the final volume in what is being called It's the Last 100 Years trilogy. And the first volume is Some Luck, and it's set in the era from 1920 to 1953, roughly, and follows the same set of characters and their descendants throughout those 33 years, and then the second volume covers the next 33 years.
So each generation, basically.
Basically, yes. And it's the Langdon family, and they are an Iowa farm family, but they spread out throughout the entire country. Some go urban and then come back to the landscape of Iowa. And so it's really a portrait of our century in America and, different news events are sort of woven into it, but it's fiction and it's just wonderful. And the characters are rich and full. Jane Smiley is one of our great writers. And there's actually two great writers that are Iowa based. Another one is Marilyn Robinson. This is wonderful. And for someone that loves a good saga, but this has some literary reach as well. These three novels are wonderful.
Yeah, and again, if you like the first one, you can just go for two and three, and you don't have to think about it. And they're hefty books, too, so they'll keep you busy on a dark winter night, which the nights are getting pretty long. So other stuff in fiction, Michael, that you want to make sure that we talk about. You've got a lot on your list as well.
Yeah, well, there's always some great fiction out. There's one novel that's like 800 pages long that I can't go without mentioning, and it's a very dark story, and it's somehow odd to recommend it as a Christmas gift because it's not uplifting. But this book has so much love from the entire bookselling and publishing community. Everybody loves this book and is rooting for it and just has fallen in love with the characters. And that's called A Little Life by Hanya. And I want to get the last name right, Yanagihara.
You nailed it.
Did I nail it? Thank God. But anyway, it's the story of four classmates from a small college in Massachusetts who moved to New York to make their way. They're broke. You know, they're kind of adrift. They're only, you know, tied together by friendship and ambition. There's an aspiring actor named Willem. Malcolm was a frustrated architect. And there's this enigmatic character named Jude, who's sort of the center of gravity for the group. And over the decades, their relationships deepen, they darken, and just revelations come out. There's just, you know, dark passages, trauma, you know, all the things you associate with Christmas, right?
It's funny, though, because we kept under-ordering this book.
Yeah.
And people kept coming in and buying it. And we were like, it's such a sad book at the end.
Yeah.
But people are really drawn to it.
The characters. They love the characters. I mean, it's just such a great story. And they feel like they have a personal relationship with these characters. It's uncanny. It's amazing when an author can really do this.
Wow.
We have been underestimating this book systematically, and we are going to stop right now.
Yeah, but these, you know, in the bookselling and publishing community, you know, these folks read a lot of manuscripts. They don't often fall in love with characters. you know, they're a little jaded, maybe, you know, the jaded sophisticates of the glittering publishing world and all that. But, you know, they have fallen for this book. And so I think it's worth a look.
One that is on your list, Michael, and I don't know if it's on yours, Dan, or not, but I saw a lot about it in preparing for the show today, A Manual for Cleaning Women. And it's even got a picture on the front of a typical old-fashioned hotel key. And you look at it and you think, A Manual for Cleaning Women. You know, what could that possibly be about? What is it?
It's short stories by Lucia Berlin, who died in 2004. And she's been called possibly the best writer you've never heard of. In a way, she's the language is very sparse and unadorned. The sentences are, you know, kind of fragmentary. And, you know, it's not flashy writing, in other words. And it sort of reminds some people of Chekhov, if you can imagine Chekhov setting his stories in the slums of Oakland or, you know, a laundromat that's open all night. You know, it's got the same kind of, you know, emotion behind, like, seemingly non-dramatic language that really people that are fans of the short story should really pick up this book.
Well, and again, if you're a fiction person, short story by your bedside, you can just pick it up, read one story,
yeah.
No pressure, and go to bed.
Those of us who have like 15 minutes of consciousness at the end of the day really appreciate short story collections. And there's a few good ones this year. Another one is 13 Ways of Looking by Colin McCann, which, you know, is, you know, it takes its title from Wallace Stevens' famous poem, 13 Ways of Looking at a Blackbird. And it's The title story is about the final day of a retired Brooklyn judge who is assaulted leaving a restaurant on a snowy afternoon, and you know, it's about the investigators, the detectives who work in the same way that that poets do, searching for the exact clue that will that'll solve it.
So, Dan, since Michael mentioned it, short stories, it is kind of handy when you're tired at night but you want to read just a little bit. Do you have anything in your collection here?
One of our booksellers, Mark DeCarteret, is recommending Joy Williams' new volume, The Visiting Privilege, New and Collected Stories. He writes these small Zen cone little recommendations. That's kind of his thing. And he's written, What's a Writer's Writer? A writer other writers wish they were remotely like. So this is for the writer on your list. Joy Williams, The Visiting Privilege.
You've got another book there too, Dan, fiction.
Well, one of the things that has really developed in our store, partly because of cultural trends, but also because of the booksellers that work in the store, is that we're selling a lot of novels in the fantasy genre. It's grown a lot. There's really kind of a pop culture thing that's become more of a serious culture thing.
Absolutely.
As, you know, Game of Thrones goes mainstream, as superheroes become, you know, not like the things that are in comic books, but they're like characters in our culture. So we sell a lot of fantasy novels now, and we have three booksellers that love fantasy novels, and they kind of gang tackle these books and get everyone reading them, even people that don't traditionally read fantasy novels. So Jill, Sarah, and Alice's latest cause is Sorcerer to the Crown by Zen Cho.
So those are your three people who work at your store. This is the book they are pushing.
They're the linebacking team that tackles fantasy novels.
No, we'll talk about the Tom Brady book later. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, this book is it's kind of a Regency-era fantasy novel, but its overlapping layers are what prevent it from being just that. It's more. So basically, there's a sorcerer royal named Zacharias Wythe, and he's been named the sorcerer royal at a spectacularly inconvenient time. Britain is suffering a lack of magical resources and is towing the lines of war with France. So you have fantasy and magic layered over a kind of a Regency-era history novel, and it's they're loving it, and they're getting everyone to read it.
Well, you've got a big fantasy section at your store too, Michael. And I think last time we talked, you guys recommended a sort of fantasy-esque book, if I could put it that way, The something giant now on my...
Oh, the berry giant.
Thank
by Ishiguro.
Yeah. Yeah, just remind us. That's from earlier this year, but that sounds really amazing, and I vowed to read that after our last conversation,
you
and
can
I
still
didn't get
read
to it.
It is still in print. You can still read it. It's actually a great gift for Christmas. Ishiguro is the author of Never Let Me Go, and there's always been kind of a science fiction or fantasy element to a lot of his best novels, and The Berry Giant takes you right back to kind of the source, which is the Arthurian legends and, Great Britain during the, behind the mists of antiquity. It's a very good novel. It's a little controversial because he actually made some comments about how he didn't want the novel to be misconstrued as a genre novel. And then the people, I think, was it Ursula Le Guin who got on his case about that?
I missed that.
It is a very good novel.
Well, it's tough because, I understand an author doesn't want to be pigeonholed. On the other hand, you guys need to organize your stores in some way, shape, or form. So.
Well, that's true. But actually one of the best fantasy novels ever written, to my mind, about magic and fantasy is Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, and that's by Susanna Clarke, and that's squarely in our regular fiction section. I mean, we only organize just so we can find the books, because things just cross genres very easily. You don't want to pigeonhole things.
Yeah. Again, our number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Couple emails have come in, guys. Gail in Londonderry says, I am loving Hammerhead by Nina McLaughlin. It's her memoir about leaving a career as a journalist and becoming a carpenter. Really well written. She shares her story of personal growth and a new career as a woman in a predominantly male field. Gail says the author's from Boston, so a lot of the places she mentions or works are familiar. Do you want to jump in on that, Dan?
Well, Nina did appear at Water Street Bookstore back in February when the book was released. It's a wonderful memoir about her sort of leaving her job in journalism and deciding to pursue a career in carpentry and in woodworking. And she's a great author. She gave the most appealing talk about her book at the store.
So really?
She presented it very well, and it's a wonderful read. So my compliments to that emailer.
Well, Gail, thank you for the email. Other memoirs, guys, and it's interesting. Some people love memoirs, and some people say they'll never read memoirs. They just feel, self-serving and even sometimes made up. What do you think, Dan? Any good memoirs that are jumping out for you?
Well, one that's on our list is Gloria Steinem's book, My Life on the Road, which is kind of a memoir and more kind of just a – it's a great book that kind of – what I love about this book is it really gets into Gloria Steinem's conception of her role in society as a person who gathers communities and gets them to talk to each other about the people in the circle and their unique perspective – and respecting that. So I can't recommend Gloria Steinem's new book enough. I loved it.
More on the best books of 2015 in just a moment. Stay with us. This is The Exchange on NHPR. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, it's our annual holiday book show. We're talking about some of the best books of 2015. Two New Hampshire booksellers are giving us their favorites, and we want to hear what books might be on your list. What would you tag as the best book that you read in 2015? Or if you need some advice as you're doing some shopping this time of year, what sorts of books are you looking for? Let's get you into our conversation. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. And by the way, all the books mentioned, either by our listeners or our guests, will be on our website, nhpr.org/exchange, along with the picks of Michael Herman and Dan Chartrand. So don't worry if you don't have time to jot down some of the books you hear. We'll put them up on the website shortly after the program. We were talking, Michael, about memoirs, and I wonder if you have any memoirs on your list that you want to recommend.
I do. I just wanted to give a brief shout out to Oliver Sacks, who recently departed our world, and his book called On the Move is actually, it's full of great revelations about his life. He wrote The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat and Awakenings.
Right, that was quite popular a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he's a famous neurologist who really, really made it a point to get to the bottom of what was going on with his patients with individual approach. And, you know, his memoir is full of great stuff. You know, he was a motorcycle enthusiast. He had a problem with drugs. You know, he had a conflicted relationship with a brother who was schizophrenic. I mean, it's a beautifully written memoir, and it's got a lot to recommend it.
Wow. And written right near the end of his life, correct,
yes,
Michael?
Yeah.
One more memoir from you, Dan.
I'd be remiss if I didn't put a pitch in for, at this time of year, I often threaten my staff, we're going to close down and we're just going to sell books about dogs. Because everyone is looking for great, great books about dogs and cats this time of year. Stephanie Shaheen has co-written with Mark D'Agostino a great memoir about Ellie and Coach. Ellie is her daughter who is has juvenile diabetes and type 1. And they found a service dog for her named Coach, and he is this adorable lab. And this is a wonderful book about the role of service dogs in someone's life. And also the bravery of her daughter in facing up to her disease and living a normal life. So it's a great book, and I can't recommend it highly enough.
Very inspirational. It's selling very well at Gibson's as well.
Well, since you mentioned New Hampshire authors, here's an email from Ken who says, I'd like to mention a couple of YA, young adult, mysteries by New Hampshire authors John Richters and Cindy Davis. Ken says, Too Many Jewels and Too Many Whales. Either of you have heard of these New Hampshire authors for young adults? There's also Paul Durham, who made a big splash here in Concord, Michael, recently, with his series, The Luck Uglies.
Yeah. He's been very popular at the store as well, continuing to sell very well.
And there's two out so far, I think?
Two out. Two. The third is coming in
Coming in
March.
Spring, yeah.
Yeah, March or April.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And again, he's somebody that just kind of hit the scene, and no one had heard of him, and then all of a sudden he wrote this book, and it went quite popular.
They've heard of him now.
He writes in a chicken coop in his backyard in Exeter.
Oh, he's from Exeter.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He's converted a chicken coop into his writing office.
Well, if he converted it, that's not as much fun. It's not a functioning, operational
Scraped
chicken coop.
It out.
Do the chickens still live there? That's what I want
no,
to know.
It's his writing studio now. It's wonderful.
Our phone number again
writer.
Is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. exchange@nhpr.org. Ken, thank you for that email. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Tell us what your favorite book was in 2015, or if you're looking for a particular book, we can probably help you out. Again, 1-800-892-6477. So here's Eric in Hancock, who's looking for some help finding a book. He says, I'm a fan of the Eric Larson style of history books. Any recommendations for the history genre? Larson wrote In the Garden of Beasts and other books.
Well, we're huge fans of Eric Larson. He came to town for Dead Wake, which was his history of the Lusitania.
That's why it's ringing a bell. People were just gaga about that book, though it's so depressing, because we all know what happens with the Lusitania.
Well, yeah, it's a spoiler alert. It sinks. But he really makes history very, very personal. He makes it come alive by studying the characters. He's not just like recounting things that are, dry and historian-like. He's telling the stories of the people. One history book that's come to our attention this year that's selling very well is by Mary Beard, who's a British classicist. She's written SPQR, which is a history of ancient Rome. And she's been writing about Rome and the ancient world, for her entire career. And this is kind of a magnum opus. It's just everything you ever wanted to know about ancient Rome is in this book.
But told in a obviously compelling way, not
absolutely.
Just, this date and that date.
She really makes it very entertaining.
Do you want to jump in, Dan?
Well, that is the book that I am going to read when I'm done selling books, starting
really?
On the 25th of December.
The Rome book.
I very much am looking forward to that. I'm a bit of a Romophile. I love antiquity and that retelling of Roman history. And I heard an interview with her on NHPR. I can't remember which of your shows it was on, but she's a Cambridge professor and she's just learnedness is pouring out of her, and she was telling great stories about the Roman, the evolution of Rome from a small city-state to the empire that it became. It's the book I'm most looking forward to reading when I'm done selling.
Well, she tells the stuff that you really want to hear about, like, just the facts. Like, for instance, apparently in Latin there's no word for smile. So her idea is that perhaps they didn't smile in the same way that we do. And she goes into that. And, it's just fascinating stuff, and she makes the point about how everybody from the provinces had the ability to become a Roman citizen. They didn't really have the same kinds of problems with immigration that we do today. You know, obviously, that, you know, everybody could become a citizen because Rome was where it was at. You know, everybody wanted to be Roman.
Well, and then they could build their power and build their armies and so forth. So it kind of worked for them.
Apparently it did for a long time.
Well, I actually, in addition to being a big fiction person, I do love, love, love history. So what else do you have, Dan?
This is a – there's a book called The Washingtons, George and Martha, Joined by Friendship, Crowned by Love. And this book basically takes the kind of wooden figure of George and Martha, father and mother of our country, and it rounds them out, makes them whole as you know, you feel like they're people that you could have known. And it turns out that they had this, according to the author Flora Fraser, they had this amazing relationship. She was widowed. He married her relatively young. She had two children from her previous marriage, and then they had children as well. And it kind of shows the way in which their devotion to each other was one of the real pillars that sustained George Washington as he, you know, helped to invent this country. So it's a wonderful novel. It's published by Knopf. Knopf publishes incredible history books as well as great fiction. And I can't recommend The Washingtons highly enough.
Wow. So, and again, you guys both loved the Mary Beard book on Rome. I just want to let everybody know she was on Fresh Air. So if people want to go back into our archives or find the podcast, Mary Beard was on Fresh Air. Again, you can give us a call at 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. And Eric, thank you for that email. Michael, did you want to jump in on history too?
Yeah, again, getting back to Mary Beard, she also has a great I forget if it was on YouTube or not, but she has a talk that's called Why Don't You Shut Up Now, Dear, or something like that, about the reception that women get in academia, which is very funny. I also want to jump in with, speaking of history, The Witches by Stacey Schiff. She wrote Cleopatra, which was a bestseller a couple of years ago, and also wrote a very, very good biography of Vera Nabokov. And this time she's talking about the Salem witch trials in 1692, just this, the mystery of how it all happened. And according to a few reviewers and historians, Stacey Schiff's book is perhaps as close to understanding what really happened as we can possibly get, because still there's still a great mystery to this hysteria, what exactly happened. But Stacey Schiff has come as close as anybody to explaining it.
Wow. Well, and one more history book, although this is a little bit of a lighter history. We've got an email from Mark who says, The Secret History of Wonder Woman. Mark says, I love this book on so many levels. We've talked about this book before, but just remind us, Dan.
Well, it was on my list last year, and help me with the author's name.
Jill Lepore.
Thank you. Jill Lepore is a professor at Harvard. She has an endowed chair there. She writes for The New Yorker. She's one of the great American historians working, and she also works as a journalist. She's written a lot about lie detector, the evolution of the lie detector, and that kind of led her to discover the secret history of Wonder Woman. And another spoiler alert, it has something to do with Gloria Steinem. So check that book out.
Two books related to Gloria Steinem.
Well, Wonder Woman's lie detector was her magic lasso. You know, so it all ties together.
Okay. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Mark, thank you for that one. Well, guys, I always like to ask you about local authors. And Dan, you mentioned Stephanie Shaheen, who wrote that book. But you've got a couple local authors of interest there in your pile. I also want to let listeners know that we've got a picture, or we will put a picture on our website, of Dan and Michael. They have tons of books in here that they always bring in, so it's really fun. Lots of local authors who are writing some terrific stuff, Dan.
There's, I have a trio of local authors. Two are the authors are from New Hampshire, and one is from the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont, Howard Frank Mosher, but I've kind of unilaterally made him an honorary New Hampshireite.
I'm sure he'll be very proud.
Yeah, he's a great author. So he's written a novel called God's Kingdom, which is set in the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont, and it's a wonderful sort of coming-of-age novel about life in the Northeast Kingdom. But more importantly, the actual New Hampshire citizens, Edie Clark has collected her essays from Yankee Magazine in a collection entitled As Simple as That. She came to the store in October. She gave what I can only describe as an incandescent reading. She read 7 to 8 of these short pieces from Yankee, and they're like old friends. For anyone that reads Yankee, They know Edie's work. This is the perfect gift for someone that's read Yankee Magazine for a long time and loves Edie's work. And she is one of their most beloved writers. There's also a book that a man named Richard Adams Carey has written about the Colebrook shooting that happened at the end of the 90s. And it's a book that Rick actually went up to Colebrook, and he basically lived there for the last 10 to 15 years part-time as he tried to unearth how this whole shooting came together. It's called In the Evil Day, Violence Comes to One Small Town. It's a beautifully written book about a wonderful community and what knits it together and what could have pulled it apart but instead kind of got it to come together more strongly. So
it was hard for him to gain the trust of the community because, you know, there are a lot of people just looking for sensationalist stories. But Rick really gained their trust and wrote a great book about it.
Well, and NHPR's Peter Biello is working on an interview with him because we were talking about that the other day. Let's go to the phone. Suzanne joins us from Keene. Hi, Suzanne. Go ahead.
Hi. I would just like to have more books like Dave McCullough, if you have any suggestions.
Dave McCullough, the guy who writes those big, fabulous history tomes. I think Truman was the last one I read, Michael.
Well, the Wright Brothers is out this year.
Absolutely, right.
Yeah, that's a great gift suggestion, actually.
How about you, David McCullough, or sort of heavy-duty history tome-like people, if I could put it that way, Dan?
Yeah, I don't know if I have anything quite like David McCullough. He is kind of unique in his approach to American history. His new book on the Wright brothers is wonderful, and I can't recommend it highly enough. There's so much more to the Wright brothers' story than just Kitty Hawk. It's actually more an Ohio story and how the aviation industry kind of blossomed out of Ohio. So I can't recommend that book. There's a history book that I have on my list by Ian Toll, called The Conquering Tide, War in the Pacific Islands, 1942 to 1944. This is volume 2 of 3 in a history of the Pacific War. And it kind of takes the broad approach that David McCullough takes to his subjects. So I would recommend that.
Well, Suzanne, I hope that helps. Thank you for the call. You can join us, too, at 1-800-892-6477. Local authors from you, Michael Herman. You've got a stack of them there, too.
You know, I do. There's always something good. It's hard to pick and choose because there's so many great books. Larry Coltrera has written a book about a quintessential New Hampshire institution, the New Hampshire Diners. And he's written just the history of classic Granite State eateries. That's the subtitle of the book. And we had him in for an event, and he's a very compelling speaker, and he's written just a great history of something that we all associate with New Hampshire culture. Now, then there's new things about New Hampshire culture. For instance, we have a book called New Hampshire Women Farmers, Pioneers of the Local Food Movement by Helen Brody.
Which is really big in the Granite State.
It is. And, you know, women are really making a contribution, whether they're whether it's from muddy boots to accountancy. You know, women are in the forefront of New Hampshire farming now. And this book celebrates that. It's a wonderful gift. It's got a lot of great photography and just portraits of different people making contributions all over New Hampshire. And then finally, photographer Becky Field.
Speaking of eye candy books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful book called Different Roots, Common Dreams. And it's about a new cultural diversity that's suddenly hitting New Hampshire, which when I moved here 20 years ago would not have been a thing. There wouldn't have been enough photographs. You know, you might have a couple of photographs, and now you've got an entire book all about people that are moving to the state, immigrants, and, contributing, preserving their own culture while embracing New Hampshire culture. It's a fascinating book.
So she is a local photographer in the Concord area and kind of took on this project of photographing newcomers to the Granite State and then made a book out of their stories and their photos.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
What's the title of it again?
Different Roots, Common Dreams.
Okay. Another New Hampshire author. Yeah. And one more New Hampshire author. You know who I'm going to say, guys.
I'm going to guess Donald Hall.
Donald Hall. What's he got for us this holiday season?
The Donald.
Our version of the Donald.
The real, yeah.
Dan, go ahead.
Well, Mark did include the selected poems of Donald Hall on our 10 best list for – we put it in nonfiction because we had too many novels. There's another great book on poetry. It's actually a work of literary criticism, but it's wonderful. It's called The Road Not Taken, Finding America in the Poem Everyone Loves and Almost Everyone Gets Wrong, and it's by David Orr. And Mark wrote about this: there is nothing unreasonable about this bountiful treatment of Frost's much-treasured Ode to Doubt, a tremendous gift this or any other season.
So, Ode to Doubt. So that's...
That's The Road Not Taken, Finding America, and the poem Everyone Loves and Almost Everyone Gets Wrong.
Okay, I'd love to talk to your employee about what people get wrong about it. Maybe I'll just have to read the book.
They misquote it all the time. Uh-huh. But getting back to Don has stopped writing poetry, as he's mentioned in various essays. And what he's done now is he's selected his favorite poems over his entire career and published them in a kind of a slender volume that's full of his favorite poems that he's written. So it's a very valuable gift book for this season.
Now, last time we talked, or maybe it was two times ago, Donald Hall, as you said, Michael, wasn't writing poetry, but he was still writing essays. He had something, essays after 80.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So that's still out. These poems aren't new then.
They are not. No, they're not new. He has stopped writing poetry. He's not satisfied with what he's able to do. So he's going back through his entire career and he's picked his favorite, his best poems.
Right. Well, there's so much there to pick from.
There
go ahead, Dan.
Well, this is very much a convention for a poet towards the end of their working life as a poet to go back and do a selected and Donald Hall, one of the foremost practitioners of poetry in the United States and a former poet laureate, has exercised that convention. So that's what's new, is that this is his sort of greatest hits in his mind.
Yeah. Is poetry a reasonably good sell at your stores? Because it seems very niche-y. There's either people who are going to read it or not.
Well, I think it depends on the commitment of the store to developing a full section. If you just have a small section, you're not going to sell a lot of poems. A bookstore has to make it a point to really take it seriously. And then at that point, you know, poets and lovers of poetry will come in and buy a lot of poetry.
Well, and New Hampshire is unusually and richly blessed with poets for some reason.
Per capita, yeah, best in the nation.
Today it's our holiday book show, and we will be back in just a moment. We'll get your questions and suggestions for the best books of 2015. You can join us at 1-800-892-6477. More in a moment. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, it's our annual holiday book show. Two New Hampshire independent booksellers are giving us their picks for the best reads of 2015. If you go to our website, nhpr.org/exchange, you can see a list of their top choices. And a little bit later on, we'll add all the names of all the books that come up in our conversation today. So join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'd love to get your favorite book of the past year or your questions, as some of our listeners have emailed, your questions about the types of books that you're looking for. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Michael Herman is here, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, along with Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter. And gentlemen, here's an email that came in from Mary Ann, who says, love your show, listening now. She's got a children's book, My New Christmas Book, a homemade together Christmas. This is Mary Ann Coco Leffler, actually, who's a local children's author and has written a great book about clams. And Mary Ann, I apologize, I can't remember the name of it, but we read it when our kids were little. What about kids' books, guys? Dan, do you want to go first on that?
Yeah, just a shout out to Mary Ann. She's a great New Hampshire author, and I love that clam book. There's so much, and we're just going to hit a few highlights and know that if you have kids, you should come into any bookstore in New Hampshire, and they'll set you up. There's so many great books. So Rick Riordan has a new Magnus. He's starting a new series, a new mythology series. He was the one that wrote the
Percy Jackson series.
Thank you.
Greek and then Roman, and he also wrote an Egypt one. Yeah.
Exactly. He's now migrated to the Norse world. He's written the first volume in the Magnus Chase series, Magnus Chase and the Gods of Asgard.
Okay, and just saying, you always talk about your readers read it. My 11-year-old reader read it and just loved it, couldn't put it down. You know, come to dinner, come set the table. You know, no, he's dug into that book.
Laura's son loved it.
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
Another book by a longtime favorite author, Mo Willems. He's got a story of a dog and a cat in Paris who become friends. And it's called The Story of Diva and Flea. This book is getting so much love from my staff, my children's bookselling staff. And then there's a sequel to the Crayons book. The Day the Crayons Came Home is the new book following on The Day the Crayons Quit. And this is moving out of the store.
Like, that's for younger kids, for littler kids.
It's a picture book for kids, yep.
Yeah, speaking of picture books, there's we actually have a book that turns into a robot. So if you have boys who love or girls who love robots, RoboSauce by Adam Rudin. These are the same guys who did the book Dragons Love Tacos, which is very popular. So check out RoboSauce. And Heather at Gibson's has also recommended The Little Snowplow, a picture book by Laura Kohler. And, of course, you know, we should be remiss if we didn't talk about the sumptuously illustrated new edition of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Scholastic's going to be bringing out a sort of a coffee table illustrated version of the Harry Potter books, one per year.
Wow.
And they've brought out
sure.
the first one this year.
Because there's a whole new generation ready to read this. Wow. You know, we've sort of moved beyond it in our house because we've read it 100 times, but it's beautiful to look at.
You'll be back to it in 10 or 15 years.
Just so I can, yeah, right.
The great thing about this book is it's kind of a reboot of the Harry Potter series in that the illustrations – J.K. Rowling has said that these illustrations come closest to how she saw the story in her mind when she was writing it.
You can bet she had approval over this, so it's got to be close.
Yeah,
right.
So it's a great reboot.
Let's go back to our listeners again. You can email us at exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter, or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. And guys, up next is Diana in Pembroke. Hi, Diana. Go ahead. You're in the Exchange. Welcome.
Hi, I haven't heard you talk about Circling the Sun by Paula McLane. I thought it was my favorite book for the year, and everybody I recommended it to loved it equally.
Fiction or nonfiction, Diana?
I'm not quite sure. I think it's like historic fiction.
Okay, yeah. Thank you very much. Michael.
Yeah, she wrote The Paris Wife, Paula McLane, and this is the story of Beryl Markham. And it's a fabulous story, and it's based on real life. Story of how she grew up in Africa and had controversial love affairs and became like a famous pilot and adventurer and writer. And it's based on historical fact, but it's a wonderful novel.
Well, and shows how well-crafted it is because Diana wasn't quite sure if it was fiction or nonfiction.
It's funny, yeah. Paula McLane really gets into the heads of historical characters in a way that's very believable.
Wow. Diana, thank you for the call. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Let's dig into nonfiction a little bit more. And Dan Chartrand, I have to ask you about probably the book I heard the most about in terms of nonfiction. I hope I'm going to pronounce his name right. Ta-Nehisi Coates, Between the World and Me.
Right.
This huge actually, splash this year.
This just won the National Book Award for nonfiction. It was in the top five. And we in Exeter have finally launched our One Town, One Book program. I've been working on this for 5 to 10 years along with my marketing person and events person, Stephanie, and we got the library to throw in. We got the Congregational Church, the Unitarian Church, the Episcopal Church. So all these, Phillips Exeter Academy, they all kind of came together, and we launched a One Town, One Book program, and we launched it with Ta-Nehisi Coates' book, Between the World and Me. This is an amazing book. It's written in the form of a letter to his son, and it's basically describing to his son how he is never going to be able to change the face of racism in this country, and he needs to defy it and make in, but not accommodate it. And it's very powerful, but it's also a great book for everyone to read because he describes how the pursuit of material, the accumulation of material things in this country, starting with the slaveholding, how that corrupts everything. And there's a turn away from community that happens when you pursue the dream, which is what he calls
the
original slaveholders.
Dream.
They're the original dreamers. And he said, we continue to have that dream to this day, and it undermines community and it undermines our society. And he is warning his son to turn away from this false dream. It is such a powerful book. It's my favorite book that I read this year.
Really? Okay, that's saying a lot.
It's very short. It's very powerful. It's not prescriptive. It doesn't try to tell us what we should do. It is descriptive. It tries to hold up the mirror to our society through the form of a letter to his son. and try to get us all to realize what we need to do to have a better, more complete society and community.
Yeah, it's interesting that we're talking in New Hampshire. We're talking about books relating to the experience of being black in America, which, you know, again, 20 years ago, as we mentioned in context of the Becky Field book, we wouldn't have been doing. But this, it's a very powerful book. I can't recommend it highly enough. Another book that also, I believe, won the National Book Award for Poetry was A Citizen by Claudia Rankine, which is also about the experience of being black in America. And it's another powerful book, this time of poetry, that we're also recommending as a Christmas gift.
How popular is poetry at your store, Dan?
Well, we've made as Michael was talking about, we've made a real commitment to having a monthly open mic poetry event. Poetry is very much something that's not just practiced by readers, it's practiced by community, speaking of community. And so we have a group of poets that come together each month, the second Wednesday of each month at 6:30 in the evening. And there are one or two featured readers, and then we do an open mic. And the poets read poetry to each other, and they've formed a community. We just had our open mic last night, final one for the year, and it's an amazing community that's been created through this monthly event.
Let's take another call. This is Kevin in Manchester. Hi, Kevin. Go ahead. You're in the Exchange. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I went to a book signing during the summer, and I'm actually in recovery, and I met this author. His name was L.E. Hastings, and the book that I picked up was short stories, recovery-based, life-based. It's been really nice. The title of the story is called All the King's Houses, and, you know, I heard earlier, you know, like a, you know, nighttime read, and they've really held my attention, and they're inspirational, actually.
Wow. Well, thank you, Kevin, for the call, not only because we were talking about short stories earlier and how we appreciate having just a little nugget to read before bed, but I think there are some books out there, Dan, about, you know, recovery and the opioid crisis that we're seeing here in the Northeast and in New Hampshire.
Yes, there are. What I want to say to the caller is thank you for going to a reading at a bookstore.
Right.
Thank you for participating in the community in that way. I'm not familiar with the book, but I've written it down, and I'm going to follow up on it.
Thank you very much for the call, Kevin. Michael, did you want to jump in there, too, on the caller's point, either short stories or stories about recovery and inspiration?
Well, I guess this might be a nice segue into the biography of Tom Petty that Warren Zanes wrote. And there is there are some revelations about drug use, you know, obviously, as you would find in rock and roll biographies. But Warren actually grew up in Concord. He and his brother Dan were in the Del Fuegos, a famous rock band. And then Warren went into academia. And he earned a PhD. He's been a teacher, but he's always stayed in touch with his musical interests. He wrote a book about the famous album Dusty in Memphis. And now he's director of the Rock and Roll Forever Foundation that was founded by Little Steven from the E Street Band and of the Sopranos. And
wow, that's a lot of.
I'm sorry.
No,
okay,
that's
but,
really
but anyway,
interesting.
Anyway, this is a great book about
a lot of connections there that I did not know about.
Well, here's what Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam said about this book about Tom Petty. He says, "Imagine a long ride on the tour bus with Tom and the Heartbreakers, where everyone was feeling loose enough to tell all their stories. What a historic night that would be!"
Right.
And then he says, "This book is that." So for all the baby boomer generation, everybody who loves rock and roll, if you have somebody on your list who might like a book about rock and roll, you should get Petty, the biography by Warren Zanes.
Here's an email from Steve in Concord who says, "Speaking of J.K. Rowling, I love the first three of the Cormoran Strike series written by Rowling under the pseudonym Robert Galbraith." Mm-hmm. I did not know about this. Dan, do you know?
Yeah, these are real favorites of ours in the story. J.K. Rowling is just a great storyteller. These are for adults. They're written in sort of the detective genre.
Oh, she wrote these just a couple years ago after Harry Potter was done. Yes, I remember.
If you love Hagrid, the character in the Harry Potter, it's like Hagrid's gone to London and he's now a hard-boiled
he's
detective.
He's a hard-boiled detective.
It's the best. This stuff is the best. Yeah. And it's written under the pen name of Galbraith.
All right.
She tried to keep that a secret, and unfortunately, I think her own law firm let the cat out of the bag, which was not her favorite moment.
Well, hard to believe, guys. We've come to the end of our hour, and I have two more quick questions for you. First of all, what are you going to read over the holiday once you maybe get a little time off? Michael.
Oh, gosh. You know, that's a very good question. I think I'm going to read Sarah Vowell's new book, Lafayette and the Somewhat United States.
Yes.
Because I love history and I love snarkiness. So I think I'm going to jump into that book.
And that's not a historical fiction.
No,
that's
history.
That's history. Right. I'm glad you mentioned that because I did see that mentioned. And again, as a history
lover.
We
didn't get to everything on our list. That's,
right.
That's on ours. But yeah, I'm going to jump into that one.
All right. Great. And how about you, Dan?
Well, other than SPQR, the books I'm most looking forward to selling next year are Brady Carlson's Dead Presidents,
our
an
own
American
Brady
Adventure.
Carlson.
Our own Brady Carlson.
Do you think we'll get the first interview on that?
I'm hoping.
Dead Presidents.
And both Michael Store and my store have booked events with Brady, so check our websites. There's also a great new book that I am reading right now called The Penny Poet of Portsmouth. It's by a beloved New Hampshire writer named Katie Towler.
She's always written fiction.
But this is a wonderful memoir of place, solitude, and friendship. If you love Portsmouth, you need to read this book.
All right. Well, Dan Chartrand of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter, Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, thank you guys for being here. Really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Well, and again, all the books that they recommended, plus books that they recommend but didn't get a chance to mention on the air, will be on our website, nhpr.org/exchange. So check them out there. This is The Exchange on NHPR.